God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The lessons during this long season after Pentecost are lessons in discipleship. In other particular seasons, Christmas, Advent, Easter, the lessons tell us about those times in the life of Christ. But during this long season, we hear Jesus teaching. And this particular section of Matthew has been referred to as the Manual of Kingdom Secrets, a guide to living within the reign of God. Now, these so-called secrets are disclosed mostly by means of parables, which does make Jesus' teachings to us somewhat cryptic, and most especially to us, the 21st century disciples. Just like last week's parable, today's continues with the seeds. Seeds, seeds, and more seeds. However, the seeds in this week's parable have a different symbolism than last week's. This week, rather than the seeds being God's word that is sown in the world, the seeds represent people. The seeds that grow into wheat are people who hear and do the word of God. The seeds that grow into weeds represent people who do not. The story about the enemy sowing weeds among the wheat is not as far-fetched as you might think, because in first century Judea, it was not all that unusual for an angry neighbor with a vendetta against their neighbor to sneak into that neighbor's field at night and sow weed seeds among the newly sown wheat. The thing about that kind of seed was it grew into a plant that looked very much like young wheat. So growth was fairly well along before an unsuspecting farmer would realize the dastardly deed. Once it was apparent to everyone that mischief had occurred, the solution seemed so obvious to many. Get those weeds out. I can see impetuous Peter now, getting the troops, the other disciples, all organized with their weed eaters. Okay, Jesus, we're ready to move out on a search and destroy. We shall depart immediately to sort out and pull out those nasty weeds from our splendid wheat that we planted and put those weeds to fire. We can be so ready to identify ourselves with the wheat and to identify anyone very different from us as weeds, the weeds to be eradicated at once by any means. But that sounds so harsh and judgmental. None of us would probably want to do that, would we? Christians would never do that sort of thing. But they have, and they will, and probably we have, perhaps not on that scale. Not necessarily us personally, but the church speaking in our name. That's why I like the confession in one of the Enriching Our Worship liturgies. The confession prays forgiveness for wrongs done in our name. In the name of Christ, there was an Inquisition back in the 15th century when many were imprisoned, tortured, and killed because their worship of God differed from those in charge. In 16th century England, for similar reasons, hundreds were burned at the stake, including Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the primary formulator up the Book of Common Prayer, the first that led to the one we use today. There were the witch hunts by the Puritans in early America. And only 70 years ago, Hitler had his methods of weeding. Methods the church in Germany acquiesced and sanctioned by its silence. Jesus' answer in the voice of the master in his parable was very clear. Let the wheat and the weeds grow together till the harvest. And that's a word to us. Step back and let it be. Let's see what will happen. The response tells us that God is confident the weeds are not going to destroy the wheat. In spite of our fears, God can handle that. The wheat will survive. There will be a harvest. In fact, to strike out and tear out the weeds now, as we're so inclined to do when a problem arises, would endanger the wheat more than leaving it to grow alongside the weeds. But a more important reason is that we can't tell the difference, and we don't know what's going to happen. We do know that within every human being, there's wheat and there's weeds. To paraphrase the poet Joaquin Miller, who in turn paraphrased Shakespeare, in people whom some condemn as ill, I find so much of goodness still. In those whom some pronounce divine, I find so much of sin and blot. I do not dare to draw a line between the two, where God has not. And we cannot either, because we are not the ones who will know. Think of the days of the early church. A prominent weed would have been Saul of Tarsus. If Peter and the disciples or any other group had gone on a weeding spree back then, the man who was to become the Apostle Paul and who wrote one of our lessons for today could well have been one of the weeds they gathered and burned. Think of Mary Magdalene, whose feast we celebrate later this week. Mary Magdalene has been, and by some continues to be, considered pretty weedy. When I arrived this morning, the usher, or the late reader also, said, "Oh, I remember you. Didn't you apply to St. James many years ago?" I said, "I did indeed." He said, "Well, no one wanted a woman." I said, "Well, yes, I know they didn't back then." And so as I was thinking about my sermon that was already written, I thought, I guess many women were considered pretty weedy back then. And in fact, this coming week, we also celebrate the 40th anniversary of the first ordinations of women as priests. They were considered pretty weedy, and some still are, and we just never know. We know people by their acts and their ministries and who they are. We can never know another's heart and be able to determine weeds or wheat. Matthew tells us with certainty, though, that the reign of God is God's business, so we don't have to worry about that. God alone, in God's good time and in God's way, will separate out the wheat. But there's this thing in human beings that makes us want to be able to make the final judgment. We might have more information. We might know better. And we feel pretty sure, because we know some people very well, who really lives within the reign of God. But I came across this fascinating description of what happens with those kind of choices. It was written by a seminarian at Suwannee who wrote, "Not surprisingly, the ins, I-N-S, look pretty much like me and my friends. They're politically liberal, possibly Democrats, and they're concerned with social issues, peace and justice issues. They're members of mainline denominations, biblically literate, and sophisticated ecclesiastical critics. They don't engage in excesses of any kind, so they're not too high church, not too low church, and certainly not part of any fringe groups. But," she concludes, "the problem with that kind of thinking is that you may be thinking, be convinced, that the ends are fundamentalist, evangelical, sectarian, right-wing, Republicans, and that doesn't mean all of those go together, but just the opposite of what the first group thought. This doesn't mean, though, that as Christians we're not to have standards and guidelines, not so much in making a final judgment, but in knowing people and knowing how to connect with them. The question is, what are the bases for our standards and guidelines?" Elsewhere in Matthew, Jesus describes the wheat as people who feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoners. Does that sound familiar? Being a person who lives within the reign or kingdom of God means being committed to justice, inclusion, equality, paying attention to the least among us by seeing to basic needs like food and clothing and education, housing, whatever is needed to help a person become more whom God created them to be. And I said this morning that I knew that you at St. James were striving to do all of those things and acting upon them. When I went in the parish hall after the first service, I saw the table with all the boxes with the names of the various groups and ministries who are participating in that. And that is what God calls us to show that God-like love and concern and care for others. And that's what determines who a person really is. But looking back at our parables, last week's sower God, who sowed the seed everywhere with delightful abandon and generosity, is also this week's sower of the good seed. The sower who knows the wheat can survive amidst the weeds, even knows that within the reign of God, a weedy-looking plant slash person can actually turn out to be wheat. And we might have some part in that by the way that we care for and reach out to and treat others. Remember Saul? Remember Mary Magdalene? And most especially, we mustn't forget to look in the mirror from time to time. Amen.